Welcome into the study in Proverbs. Today we're going to run through Proverbs chapter 20. I'll tell you, a great chapter, and there's a verse in this chapter you're not going to want to miss. It's on in the chapter, and it's, boy, a lot of great wisdom along the way until we get there as well. You know, it's interesting in life. We are so pulled in so many different directions. You probably heard in a couple other episodes ago, I was talking about a car issue that I had, and it was interesting when that time happened. You know, the company came out to tow the car and all this kind of stuff. And long and short of it is they didn't have the stuff. They didn't have the right supplies. We had to get another tow company. And, you know, I say this to say because our world is so complicated and just how we do things. You know, it didn't used to be how, like, you could just go fix your own stuff and do your own things. And things have gotten a lot more complicated, which I believe is wisdom has always been needed. But it's another reason why wisdom, godly wisdom in particular, is needed in our world and society today more than ever, so we can literally be in a place where we can live at peace, not only with God, but ourselves, to be not overwhelmed by situations and circumstances, to be in a place where we are not overrun, our thoughts are not just constantly on the go and thinking, oh, what am I going to do? We literally have something to tether our lives to. It's so important. So we're going to see that a little bit in Proverbs chapter 20 as we unpack some of what God's word has for us. Now, remember, I'm reading out of the NLT, New Living Translation version. If you're joining with a group as well, hey, group, thanks for joining us. And whoever led the group, I'm proud of you for doing that as you are proactive in bringing friends into the process of actually leading people through the book of Proverbs. And remember to share this. And also click on notifications if you're watching it via YouTube or Spotify or whatever it is, so that way you can be in a place where you get what you need along the way. All right, let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Father, thank you so much for this day. And we just praise you for all that you've done and all that you want to do in and through our lives. Use this scripture to encourage many in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to bring this first verse up on screen, and we're going to start that way so you can kind of start, make sure you're reading with me. All right, let's go. Verse 1, wine produces mockers, alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. Now listen, I highlighted that part of it. I got to tell you, there's been times in my life where I've had too much drink, right? And so it's caused you're in a place where you can't make great decisions. Maybe you don't live life. Maybe you're not as efficient. Maybe you're not as organized as you need to be. And so the point is you want to try and grow from that. Don't stay there. Grow and say, okay, I'm going to do it differently. And I think that's just an important warning for all of us as we're living life. You know, sometimes in business as well, if you're watching this and you're in business, you can find yourself where that becomes kind of a said thing where you're going out and having cocktail hour and all this kind of stuff. You know, one of the things that I started doing along the way is changing, and I would just do a club soda with a lime, just a little simple life tip where I'm still hanging out with people, still connecting, still interacting. But I didn't feel the pressure that I had to have a drink, right? And I had one with me. It was club soda with a lime. Nobody asked any questions. And you're not trying to be deceptive, but you're just trying to kind of not make a big deal out of it and continue to move on. So there's a little life tip that I started implementing along the way. Verse 2 says, the king's fury is like a lion's roar. To rouse his anger is to risk your life. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. You know, we're hearing a lot through Proverbs the kind of contrast between fools and then wisdom. And a lot of times, you know, when it talks about fools are doing this and fools are doing this, and, you know, one of the things we talk about is quarreling and fighting and arguing. You see a kind of a repetitive theme. And so the question is, are you a fool? Now, I know that's hard to kind of evaluate and say, well, I don't like to think like that. But the point is, the Bible says that if you're in a place where through your conversation and through your speech and through your quarreling, you're leading people into argument, the Bible calls that a fool. And I think that's important for us to understand. Again, this doesn't mean that we can't have disagreement. That's not the point. What it does mean is we can see things differently, but are we arguing about it? That's really a great question as we think about the conversations and communication that we have along the way. And again, you are human, just like I am human. You're not going to get it right every time. You're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to fall down. Even as you start to grow, you're going to find times you still fall down. Don't let that break you. Say, you know what? Dang it. I fell off the horse. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't want to do it. I know how to avoid it, but I still did because you're human. I'm going to get back on the horse and I'm going to try and do it better next time and move on, right? Move on, move to the next day, move to the next moment because you can't change the past. And we've heard it said before, you can't drive the car in the rearview mirror. So verse 3, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling. Now, I highlighted this next verse as I went through it. It says, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food in the harvest. Now, many of us don't have farms. So we're not in a place where we're, you know, hitching up the horses and plowing the field. That's typically not happening. There are a lot of farmers in America today and other countries of the world, but a lot of those farmers even now, for the most part, they're using machinery. They're using equipment. They're using tractors. They're using industrial equipment that makes their job a little bit easier. But the point here is still well taken, and that is those too lazy, verse 4, those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Now, I think it's interesting that they bring in the word the right season, because there's a lot of people that may just say, well, you know, I'm going to plow and plow and plow and plow. And if you plow your field in this season where the seeds should have already been planted and you're waiting on those seeds to germinate with the sun and the water and the rain and germinate and grow, and you're waiting on those seeds to grow, and then you go in and you decide you're going to plow the field, that's not the right season, okay? And what happens sometimes in life is if we're not focused in our life and we're not organized in our life, we can find ourselves wanting to put the work in times where we shouldn't be putting the work in. Okay, so what does this mean? I take it from this perspective. Sometimes it's okay to work really hard and we need to do that. But there are other times where we need to just rest and learn to rest and allow the process to happen. And that's really where we grow our reliance, by the way, on God, because we say, okay, there's just things I cannot control. But it does say that we must plow in the right season, which means that in your industry, whatever industry you're in and in life and whatever it is, think about what it looks like to do what you need to do. If you're in business, be diligent, work hard when you need to work hard, but also take time to unplug from technology and from life and allow yourself time to unplug and think. If you're a mother out there and you got kids, life can be busy and you're worried or thinking about all of these kinds of things that are going on day-to-day life. It's okay to allow yourself time to slow down and think. Remember, if you're in a situation, if you're a parent and you're walking through life stressed out, worried, fearful, with anxiety and all this kind of stuff because you're just running and running and running and running and running in life, your kids are going to see that. And they're going to kind of start to move to that rhythm, and you're going to bring a level of stress and anxiety on your children that they shouldn't have, because this is the way they believe it should operate because they're watching their parents. So teach your kids how you work hard, but then how you play hard, and then also how you rest hard, and then play hard again. So it's important here that we understand that it's important to work hard, but to do it, plow in the right season. Verse 5, by the way, if you need to think a little bit on some of these things as I'm talking about it, press pause. It's okay. Whether you're listening via podcast or video, press pause, get your white sheet out, maybe highlight like I'm highlighting, but get your white sheet out and make some notes. Make this interactive, please, because if you just get through this and watch this and be like, well, that was good, that was some encouraging things, but then you're not actually taking notes of things that you actually practically want to apply and then change in your life, you will see no change. Very important. Verse 5, though good advice lies deep within the heart, a person with understanding will draw it out. Now, when I read this initially, and again, in my Bible here, verse 5, you can see I have this highlighted. It really reminded me of Dale Carnegie. Now, if you don't know Dale Carnegie, and I've talked about him before in Proverbs, but I want to bring it back because I think it applies right to this verse as well. You know, Dale Carnegie, if you've never watched The Men Who Built America, it's a series from the History Channel. It's really good, actually. Right. I would highly recommend to check that out. But he was asked one time by a reporter, how is it that you're able to hire so many millionaires? Now, remember, this is years and years ago. So a millionaire back then was a rich person. I mean, they had a lot of money. They could pretty much buy whatever they wanted. And he was asked the question, what is it that caused you to have and make enough money that you could buy, or excuse me, hire millionaires? And he said, well, they weren't millionaires when I hired them. And so then the next question was, well, how is it that you were able to develop these people in such a way that they were able to grow and become so valuable that they were able to become millionaires working with you? How did that happen? And Mr. Carnegie's response, I thought, was very interesting. He said, you know, I hire people and develop people. I look at it the same way as you were to go mine for gold. Now, I've never mined for gold. Maybe you have. Maybe you've gone and take a little trip and they have the little pan and you get in the river. You know, we're talking about actual mining where you're digging into the ground, you're going into a mine, and you're mining in a big way for gold. And here's what he said. He said, you don't go into the mine looking for a lot of rock and dirt, but you have to move a lot of rock and dirt to find the gold. And he's like, I look at people the same way. And that is, there's a lot of gold inside of them. A lot of times they don't even know it. Most of the time, people that have a lot of talent and ability inside of them, they don't know it. Which, by the way, this is a little side note. This is why you and I need quality people in our lives to speak into us and to encourage us and to help bring out inside of us what's actually there. And that's how Dale Carnegie looked at hiring people. And I thought that was great. And, you know, right here, when you take a look at verse 5, it says, though good advice lies deep within the heart, it doesn't say maybe it does. It says, though good advice. So it lies deep within the heart. And it says, a person with understanding, wisdom, will draw it out. Verse 6, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? Boy, isn't that true sometimes in life? When you go through challenges and adversity, who's actually really there late at night, early in the morning, doing whatever and willing to do whatever they need to really come along your side? Verse 7, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. When a king sits in judgment, he weighs all the evidence, distinguishing the bad from the good. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure and free from my sin? In other words, what the writer is telling us here is, we cannot say in and of ourselves, I've cleansed my own heart, I'm free from my own sin, I've lived a life of perfection, therefore I've made it. Well, that goes completely against God's word when the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, that doesn't mean we beat ourselves up about these things, but what it does mean is that we understand the perspective of the fact that God is holy and we are not, and we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God so that neither you nor I can boast. And that's exactly the process. So that's why we need the Lord in our lives, not just to guide us with wisdom, but to literally save us from our sins, which would lead us to damnation, which is hell. Very important. Verse 10, false weights and unequal measures, the Lord detests double standards of every kind. In other words, be honest in your communication and how you judge and what you do, and you shouldn't be judging people anyways, really. The world, that is. Even children are known by the ways they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. Ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. You know, it's so interesting. A lot of times, I don't know if you've ever done this, if you've ever read a book, and that's why I'm challenging you to really slow down, press pause, make notes. I don't know if you've ever read a book. I remember when I was younger, I certainly didn't have as much appetite for learning and knowledge. Obviously, I have more now because you go through life and you face challenges, you get kicked in the teeth by things in life, and it causes you to kind of hopefully bend towards truth and wisdom. But, you know, I remember going through life and literally being in a situation where I would read a book, or not a full book, but read some of a book. And I might read a chapter or two or three for school when I was younger. And I literally couldn't even tell you what I just read. I would read the book and I'd be done. I'd be like, I have no idea what I just read. I know I spent the time and I know I read, but I have no idea what actually was on the pages. And I think it's just such a blessing. And it talks about this here in verse 12, where it says, ears to hear and eyes to see. Both are gifts from the Lord. And I think it's important, like when we look at God's word, we need to be praying. You need to be asking, God, give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see. As Michael is leading me through some of these teachings and I'm reading myself your word in a printed copy, as I encourage you to do, give me the ears to hear and the eyes to see your truth. If you love, verse 13, if you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Keep your eyes open and there will be plenty to eat. Now remember, it's about balance. Like we talked about earlier in the book, it's about knowing the right season. And there's a season to rest and there's a season to harvest and a season to grow and so on. And by the way, there's certain seasons in your life where you need to work harder. You know, you might need to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And you're trying to develop or build something. I remember when I was younger and starting the companies initially, I was thinking about business and developing almost all the time. Now, I still think about things a lot, but I don't have to spend as much office time. I have a great team. We got a great group of people that are kind of helping facilitate some of the things that need done. And then there's other seasons in your life where maybe you're moving into the next level of whatever God's calling you to, and you need more time of just rest to recover, to heal your body, to grow, to develop. Just rest. It's okay to do that. God's created everything. For everything, there's a season and a reason, right? Verse 14 of chapter 20, the buyer haggles over the price, saying it's worthless, then brags about getting a bargain. Don't be that person, by the way. I hate those people, quite honestly. Hate's a strong word. I dislike how they operate. You know, in my opinion, anybody that's in business, I don't want to get ripped off. Well, but I also want people to make a fair income. You know, make sure that you take care of people on the journey. And they'll take care of you, by the way. Okay? Very important. Verse 15, wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. Verse 16, get security from someone who guarantees a stranger's debt. Get a deposit if he does it for foreigners. Stolen bread tastes sweet, but it turns to gravel in the mouth. Plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. You know, the Bible has been consistently clear on what gossip is and what it isn't. Obviously, gossip is talking about other people, and that we do not and should not be part of that stuff. There's no value to it. It's not encouraging to others, and we can find ourselves sometimes involved in it. We got to shut it off. I remember I was in a conversation with my wife one time. We were at an airport, and we were getting ready. We were waiting on food to come in, and we were talking about a couple that we knew years ago. Oh, I remember so-and-so, yeah, that kind of thing. And we kind of started talking about, well, yeah, remember this, and here's what's going on in their life, whatever. And I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me, stop. And I did. We're starting to go down the lane of gossip, and both my wife and I acknowledged that, and we stopped the conversation. But these are things that as you practice them, you'll get better at them. Now, notice I didn't say you'll get perfect. There is no perfection, but you will get better as you practice. So keep that in mind as you go on your journey of the people that you communicate with, is thinking about what it looks like And be in a place where you're not hanging around, as verse 19 says, with chatterers. Verse 20, if you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. Verse 21, and now I highlighted this one. An inheritance obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. I remember when I was younger and, you know, I was in business and I had other friends that had fathers that had businesses. My dad had a heating and air conditioning business, and I grew up tearing up cement floors and running pipe and, you know, running ductwork and trailers and furnaces and all kinds of stuff, painting houses, really a lot of physical work and labor. And it was good for me because I learned a lot of things. I learned self-respect. I learned confidence. I learned how to take care of and do things. But I remember thinking when I started our first company in 2002, gosh, you know, it'd be nice if my dad helped out a little bit financially and kind of, you know, gave us a little shot in the arm, maybe $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000 to put into the company to really grow. That's what I thought at the time. Looking at some of my other friends where their, you know, families had money and they were helping their kids with a bunch of different things. But as we grew and developed, and of course that did not happen. As we grew and developed, I realized and actually started to become thankful for the fact that that didn't happen. Because I learned to develop how to figure out how to do this without help in a lot of ways. And I don't mean that I wasn't seeking wisdom from God. I mean like monetary help from others around. Now, that doesn't mean it's always wrong to get financial help, but I've seen too many people that have inherited a lot of money at a young age and it just destroys their life because they lose their sense of purpose. They lose their sense of self-worth. They lose their really passion in life, quite honestly. So parents, as you're listening to this, be mindful of the reality that it's okay to not give your kids everything when they're younger and allowing them to struggle through some things. That's how they will develop. Remember, champions are not made on feather beds. So verse 21, where it says, an inheritance obtained too early in life is not a blessing in the end. Verse 22, don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. So what does that tell us? What that tells us, and there's another verse that says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Now, this is something in life that we can definitely struggle with. We want to get revenge, or we want to feel like we need to take care of wronging a right. I deserve this or I deserve that. And, you know, in my life, one of the things that I've started thinking about recently anyways is Christ. What did Christ deserve? Well, he lived a perfect life, and yet he chose to accept our sin, my sin, your sin. And that's what ended up killing him on the cross ultimately. And he did that because he loved us. And so when we look at all of the challenges in life, if we run our life down the path of revenge and vengeance, we're gonna be miserable. We're gonna be always angry and hateful. We're probably gonna hurt other people around us because we're gonna feel wronged all of the time. We need to learn to let go. We need to learn to let go. It's so important. So remember, God will handle the matter. Verse 23: the Lord detests double standards. He is not pleased by dishonest scales. Now, I highlighted and circled, I don't know if you can see this or not, I highlighted and circled verse 24, okay? And right here, highlighted and circled verse 24. I think this is one of the most powerful verses. I think there's a lot here, but I think this is one of the most powerful verses in Proverbs 20 here, and here's what it says. Read it with me. You got your Bible? Read it with me. And read it out loud, by the way, as you're reading it. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Question mark. Let's read that again. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Listen. If you genuinely, in your heart, believe that God is in control, Now, you may not fully believe that, and that's okay. It's going to take some time on the journey to develop that. But if you fully believe, if you're in the category that you fully believe that God is completely in control of everything, He allows things to happen. He doesn't make everything happen, but He is in control of everything. I know that sounds a little crazy for a minute, but just stay with me. Why do you try and figure every detail of every aspect of life out along the way? Well, what about this? And what about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And worry about this? Worry about that? If you live like that, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You have to learn, just like I said before, in the verse where it says, wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Let the Holy Spirit, let God do work in other people's lives. Don't try and be God in their life. You can't be. And you can't change anyone anyways. I shared this before when I went through a marriage a 4-day session, a marriage intensive with my wife in 2020. And one of the things that Bob Paul, the founder of the Institute, said, it was for Focus on the Family, is he said, Mike, you cannot make your wife trust you, and you cannot make her do anything. Now, those were freeing for me. I want to come alongside, and I want to help, and I want to try and create environments and opportunities where she can develop and grow and whatever, and let her in some degree, and I'm learning how to do this. Like, it's not easy sometimes because I'm like, oh, this is the answer. Hey, pick me. I've been there. I know what to do. Sometimes one of the things I'm learning, and this is hard, and I don't do this right all the time, but I'm learning to just keep my mouth shut. But, you know, I've had a lot of experiences in life. I've worked in different businesses. I've met a lot of different people. I've negotiated a lot of situations. So what happens sometimes is my default wisdom from being in those situations kicks in and says, oh, this is what you should do. When sometimes, you know, we need to just kind of let things happen and realize that, you know what, why try and understand everything along the way? Let's let God handle some things. Listen, He spoke. Go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created. It didn't say you created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't need your help. He didn't need my help to create the heavens and the earth. He did it all on His own. And yet we try and micromanage every single detail of life sometimes, and it can drive us crazy. So let's make sure, write this verse down on a 3x5 card or somewhere that you don't forget it. Verse 24, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? It doesn't say, don't work, sit around, don't do anything, don't develop. No, that would be contrary to God's word. We need to work hard. We need to get knowledge. We need to get wisdom. We need to get people in our lives along the way. A true friend sticks closer than a brother. We read that a couple chapters ago. Like, we need people in our lives. We need wisdom in our lives that are going to help us develop and grow. But don't try and overanalyze everything. And if you catch yourself doing this, what does this look like? It practically looks like you thinking, oh, what about this? How's this going to work out? I don't know. What about that? You have to start to change your thought pattern by introducing new thoughts, introducing new ideas, making yourself in the middle of that worry stop and speak a truth of God's word. That's one of the reasons you need to memorize scripture. The Bible says if we hide God's word, which is right here, as we hide God's words in our hearts, we do it so we may not sin against Him. So here you are, you're in a situation where you're worrying or you're overthinking something, and all of a sudden you say, time out. I'm catching myself, and maybe you pull out a 3x5 card with 2 Timothy, it's in the New Testament, 1, chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Now, you may hear that or you may read that verse and be like, wow, that's really good. That sounds good, Mike. I really like that. And then you go on worrying. No, you're not applying You're not applying the word. Remember, you can read this book until you're blue in the face, but the word of God is worthless unless you apply it in your life. You have to allow it to give it permission. You have to give God permission, essentially, in a lot of ways, to have power over your life, because you can choose to do the wrong thing. You can choose to stay in your own way. You can choose to have your mind be not directed towards the things of the Lord. You can choose to do that. And I got to tell you, it is a battle. But one of the things that I learned years ago, and I'm spending some time on this because I believe it's so important. Years ago when I sold books door to door, I had a negative mindset initially when I started. And boy, I just brainwashed and brainwashed and brainwashed and brainwashed my mind with praise songs and Zig Ziglar and reading scripture. And every single time I had a worryful thought or a negative thought, I, as the Bible says, take every thought captive. That's what I did. I took that thought captive and I redirected it to a different thought or a different scripture. And you know what started happening? when I first started doing that, I'm literally telling you, I had to do that maybe 100, 150 times a day. I mean, it was a lot, maybe more. It was probably more than I thought. But as I continued to do that, you know what happened? As I took those thoughts captive, and as I had ready, now I didn't have all the scripture memorized at the time, so I had it written down in 3x5 cards. As I had these verses ready, I would read these verses, and what it did is it caused me to be in a place where I was intentionally controlling my thoughts and redirecting my mind. And you know what happened? Those worry and anxiety type thoughts became less and less and less and less and less. Now, I still get them from time to time today, but I'm strong enough mentally that I just immediately disregard it. And there's times where I'm weak and I'm down and I may have a little bit of plum disease, poor little old me. But now that only lasts for a season, a short season, a couple hours, maybe a day. Not like before, because I over-disciplined myself to take my thoughts captive. And really what you're doing there is, just as it says in verse 24, you're not trying to understand everything along the way. You're just letting God take care of it. Because you may say, well, I don't want to understand everything, Mike. I just want to know how this works out. Well, how is that any different? I'm not trying to understand everything, Mike. I'm just worried about this happening or that happening. So when you're worried about something happening, what you're doing is you're worried because you can't control the outcome of what you're thinking about. That's why you're worried. And what you're doing is you're trying to understand everything along the way. Instead of saying, God, this is in your hands. I'm going to give it to you. And by the way, that's one great way the enemy will come in, Satan, trying to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to get you in your mind. And if he can capture you in your mind, he can freeze your body and every other part of your life in a lot of ways. So be mindful of that. Verse 25, don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God and only later counting the cost. In other words, don't just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. God, I promise, I'm in, whatever. But you don't really think about what the commitment you just made entails or requires for you to actually fulfill the commitment you made. Verse 26, a wise king scatters the wicked like wheat, then runs his threshing wheel over them. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Unfailing love, verse 28, unfailing love and faithfulness protect the king. His throne is made secure through love. The glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. Physical punishment cleanses away evil. Such discipline purifies the heart. I think about that in relation to spanking your children, right? The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, you're not going to beat your kids, but you're going to spank them with discipline, with what's called the rod of correction, okay? That is something that is not your hand, that's an actual, maybe it's a wooden spoon, maybe it's a paddle that you made, but it's designed for correction. You use it to discipline your child. You talk about why they're in trouble, and then you go ahead and you do that. You spank them, but it drives away evil. It cleanses away evil. I will tell you, I've seen in my kids' demeanor shifts when they've been spanked. Now, again, as a father, as a human, have I done it perfect every time? The answer is no. There's some times that I have disciplined in anger, and I've had to go back and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. Will you forgive me? I did it wrong. But then there's other times where, you know, we did it right, and that's okay too. So you want to grow in that is the goal here. I want to again finish with the last verse, reiterating verse 24, and that is, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Really let that settle in. I think that's so powerful, because if you really allow your mindset to not try and worry or understand or figure everything out along the way, and you really pray, give things to God, and you're mindful of His word, and you actively speak His truth, like God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, you speak that continually over your worry, over your anxiety, over your fear. You actively saying, I'm going to go to war, and I'm going to put on praise music, and I'm going to sing to the Lord, and I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to let that be my mindset. I will make myself praise the Lord, and I will not allow this worry and fear and anxiety to overcome me. Enough. When you take that kind of mindset, and you can't just do it 1 hour or 2 hours or 1 day or 2 days, you have to do it daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. But when you start to build that routine and that rhythm, you know what will happen? You're going to experience more peace in life than you've ever experienced before. You're going to experience more direction in life than you've ever experienced before. You know why? Because all the worry is not clogging up the pipes in your brain. You're actually free to hear from God now, because you're not allowing all of that noise to clog your mind. It's so important. Listen, share this with somebody that needs to hear it. Be blessed, and we will catch you next segment on Proverbs 21. All right, have a good one.